Hi there. Welcome to Semester 8, Episode 4 of the IBYs Just Admitted podcast, where former deans and directors of admission give expert insight into the complex college admissions landscape. This season, what are my chances? Data and decisions in college admissions. We're looking at statistics, data, and other kinds of evidence to help listeners decide what to consider and what to move past. I'm Tasha, your host. I'm an admissions counselor at IBYs, a former international admissions officer at USC, and former assistant director of international admissions at Boston University. And my guest today is Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Tasha. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here again.
Thanks so much for joining us. And could you please introduce yourself? Where did you used to work?
Sure, absolutely. I was an admissions counselor at Vanderbilt University, and I also was a senior assistant director of admissions for Georgetown University before I moved on to the high school side of things. And I was a director of college counseling at two independent schools here in the US, and I have now been with IBYs for 5 years.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Robin. It's so great to have you back on. You're always a great guest.
Oh, thank you.
So like I said, we're just about halfway through the season already. And today we're going to just kind of be adding on to our topic that we've been discussing throughout this season. And again, it's all about data. And today is looking at probability and chance calculators. So I think in order to really dig into this episode, we have to first talk about what a chance calculator even is. So I actually did not know what this was until I started doing some research for this season, learned a lot about my colleagues as I crowdsourced and figured out, you know, what I wanted to talk about this season. And this kept coming up. And something that kept coming up was this term chance calculator. So what is a chance calculator? So simply put, it's either a website or a person usually on the internet that claims to give a student or an applicant a number or a percentage, like a chance percentage of their chances of being admitted to a certain university or a certain program at a certain university. So like I said, it can be either a website or a person, but beyond that, we can break it down even further. And this is really very much fueled by the internet. So number one, automated chance calculators offered by websites or blogs. So that's going to be the first type. One of the most popular, I think most visited, is the US News and World Report chance calculator. So this is actually a tool that the publication provides. It asks students to, and I quote, add your GPA and SAT or ACT scores and select a school to see how you stack up against applicants across the country, unquote. So that's kind of the directive that the chance calculator gives folks. You have to go in and make an account and put in all of your information. And then based on that information, you can select the different chances that they may calculate for you based on different universities or different programs that you might be interested in. The other kind of automated chance calculators are those offered by different blogs. So rather than like a publication like US News and World Report, there are blogs, for example, like College Data, College Vine, Niche, and many more. And so that's kind of the breakdown of websites and blogs and just a few examples. So just based on all of that information, but of course, much, much more, what do you think of this method, Robin? Do you think it's reliable? And how might it be faulty in certain cases?
Yeah, you know, I think that if anything we've seen over the past couple of decades is that there's certainly not a lack of resources available online to help students and families explore the college application process. But with so many options, it's hard to really vet like what is reliable, what maybe isn't going to be so trustworthy. And I think that when it comes to something like, you know, this type of chance calculator, where it's a student inputting data such as a GPA and standardized test scores, I mean, it's one method to gauge whether a college might be within range for a student solely based on that quantitative information, GPA and test scores. And of course, we're still operating in a test optional landscape right now. So not all students will potentially have test scores to add to the calculator. So that's a missing piece of data, which then is only means that the student is able to input a GPA. So it's not a full picture. And so certainly at various colleges and universities, students need to meet these quantitative thresholds to get them to the starting line in terms of consideration for admission. Those numbers, even hitting those numbers, meeting those thresholds, or even going beyond those thresholds, is by no means a guarantee that a student is going to be admitted. Similarly, you know, if a student's quantitative information falls below a particular school's academic thresholds, that doesn't necessarily mean they won't be admitted. And this is because U.S. colleges practice a holistic admissions process, which I know we've certainly talked about before in our podcasts and whatnot. And just as a reminder, you know, the holistic admissions process means that colleges review the application in its entirety and take into consideration both the hard factors, which would be things like a GPA, standardized test scores, the rigor of high school courses, as well as the soft factors, which would be extracurricular activities, essays, recommendation letters, potentially an interview, and things of that nature. So I would discourage students and families from safely assuming that they're in at a particular school solely because they meet the GPA and test score averages, because there's so much more nuance involved in the application review process. For example, highly selective universities can fill their incoming first-year classes 3 or 4 times over with students who have near-to-perfect GPAs and test scores. And the reality is that not all of those students are being admitted, you know, to those types of schools. So I think it's a resource that gives students a sense of, do they have the hard factors that put them within range for a school? But beyond that, it's not going to be a reliable indicator in terms of admission result.
That's absolutely right, Robin. And I do want to just kind of hark back to something that Nat said last episode, in case any of you all missed it. And you can absolutely go back into your podcast feed and check out episode 3. He made a really great point kind of in the inverse as well. So not only is it in no way guaranteed that a student is going to be admitted if they reach or supersede certain milestones or averages or, you know, any kind of metric that a college might publish. But it's also in no way guaranteed that a student won't be admitted if they are below some of those averages. And he gave a really great example related to Pell eligible students and students from lower socioeconomic backgrounds who may or may not benefit from submitting test scores that may even be below the middle 50%, just given lots of statistics around that and how test scores may help certain kinds of students stand out if they come from backgrounds where they're doing much, much better than the average, right, in terms of testing. And so that was a really great example of just how many factors are really being thought about in the process. And thank you, Robin, for bringing in that handy dandy holistic review process term that we are so fond of, but really is just like such a big part of our work and really important to always be bringing back, because, you know, without the holistic review process, you know, it, you know, we wouldn't be having these conversations. And so, just wanted to kind of remind folks of how it kind of works on both ends. It's not guaranteed on either end because there are so many additional factors that might be considered.
And I actually, even that makes me think too, just going back to the test optional side of things, that as I think we've seen just on the professional side, how the accepted test score ranges now at various schools have just increased because of test optional, because the students who are submitting scores are submitting very high scores. So even that information, I think, is, you have to take it with a grain of salt. If you are a student using a chance calculator, such as this one, where you just input your GPA and test scores, if you have them, or maybe you don't, I wouldn't want a student to feel discouraged from applying to a certain school if they have a really strong GPA, but maybe their test score isn't where they want it to be. Well, then maybe test optional would be a good thing to consider. So I think that just we have to remember that test optional side of things right now, that is still at play at quite a few universities. When we look at chance calculators such as this one that are relying on students to input quantitative information.
And we are going to be digging into at test optional. I feel like we could have done a whole season on test optional. It's changing so much even as we speak, but
right.
We will be talking about that in episode 6. So definitely look out for that if it's something you want to learn more about. And it, you know, will be changing between now and then even potentially. So moving on to the second kind of chance calculator and kind of the categories of calculators we'll be talking about, and that's chance calculators on message boards or open forums. So also, of course, websites. One of the most popular ones that I'm sure most listeners have heard of is College Confidential. And then there's also a College Admissions Chance Me subreddit. So there's a whole wide world of college admissions on Reddit. And then there's even a Chance Me subreddit within that. And on Reddit, this particular subreddit, self-described admissions experts and also just other folks on the internet will assign chances to students based on the information that a student posts about their particular student profile. So this Chance Me subreddit actually has a really detailed and comprehensive page that gives students and other forum participants advice on how to best use the resource. And so I do think that that's like very responsible on their end. They give a lot of information and very specific directions on the best way to use it, and also give a disclaimer that, you know, it's in no way absolute that the advice or information that might be given there, you know, will need to be double checked and fact checked, and, you know, really let students know that it's the folks that are responding to their Chance Me requests are responding with the information that they have and the information that they're being given, but that they cannot account for information that they potentially don't have, right? And so part of this detailed and comprehensive direction page asks students to begin by doing their research on a particular school that they're interested in and looking at that school's common data set and at that school's admissions website, just to get the information from there on the outset. And we talked a lot about the common data set in our very first episode of this season with Alicia, when we talked about trustworthy and untrustworthy college admissions resources. Also in episode 2, when we talked about just data in general, the common data set is kind of the data Bible for individual universities that publish all of their statistics. They are sometimes outdated because they can sometimes take a little while to update. So always keeping that in mind. This detailed page from the Chance Me subreddit also gives advice on the kind of information that students should be considering including in their original Chance Me request, so that those that are responding to their requests can be as accurate as possible and have the most accurate information possible, but also without overwhelming folks with small details, because of course, you know, a Chance Me request that is too long or too detailed, you know, would be more difficult to respond. And finally, this direction page gives some honest disclaimers, like I said, about how it's an imperfect system and how the information that students are able to include in a Chance Me post is inherently going to be missing some critical context about the applicant pool or about a school's institutional priorities. All right, so that was a mouthful, but just wanted to give as much information from what I can tell this Chance Me subreddit offers. How does that stack up to other kinds of Chance Me calculators chance calculators, Robin? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, with things like College Confidential or the Chance Me subreddit and whatnot, I mean, a lot of this is going to be anecdotal evidence. I understand students obviously include hard data like the GPA and the test scores and whatnot, but then they also fill in the gaps as far as the soft factors that I talked about before. I mentioned extracurricular activities, maybe they mentioned their essay topic, where they're from geographically, that kind of stuff. And I think for me, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is that the people who are chancing you are not the ones who are actually sitting in the admissions office having discussions with the admissions committee about the applicants in that particular admissions pool, right? The people chancing you are not the ones who are privy to what a university's institutional priorities might be during any given admission cycle. They need more students interested in a certain humanities major. Maybe they need a bassoonist for the band. I don't know. But that it's that type of institutional information that unless you're the admissions officer currently working at the school, you're just not going to know that. I do think what I do like is that Chance Me really tries to provide that context and guidance, as you just detailed, Tasha, about how to best use the forum. And, you know, at the end of the day, I understand students are seeking a type of affirmation, some assurance about a process that has become increasingly unpredictable. And it's beyond their control. It's beyond our control as counselors. I know both of us advise the students that we work with as best we can based on the knowledge we have from our professional careers. But every year there's decisions that end up surprising me when everything is said and done. I worry that students or families who rely too much on these types of resources, I worry that that can cause a false sense of assurance, which can then only amplify the disappointment if the student isn't offered admission. And I do, again, I like how the Chance Me instructions clearly state not to put too much stock into any single example, specifically as it relates to the subreddit threads of college results and applying to college. So I think this is a way students can crowdsource, I suppose, to get some initial thoughts about their overall profile and how they might fare in various applicant pools. But the bottom line is that every admissions office, while there's certain things that are similar, I would say, across the board in terms of, you know, the holistic admissions review, there are different driving factors that are going to impact the types of admissions decisions that are made from one school to the other from year to year. And those are directives that only the individuals working in the office during that admission cycle will be aware of. So those are my thoughts on that.
Great, Robin. And I think you make a really good point that ultimately, you know, a big part of the reason that these kinds of forums are so popular is because students are just trying to get more information and get some validation and also like seek out solidarity. And, you know, that's very natural. And it definitely makes sense that given the tools of the internet, I'm sounding very old when I keep talking about the internet, but really it's like all of this has expanded so much in the last couple of decades as access to the internet has become so ubiquitous and it's just so easy for folks to connect, right? And that connection is valuable, right? Because it provides links and again, ways to access a sense of solidarity, but also, you know, can be dangerous if students put too much stock in some of the advice that they're being given. All right. I wanted to go through an example of what one of the Chance Me posts looked like and the kind of information that the student included. And so the title of the post is called Chance at UT reject for Ivy's question mark. So I believe the student is asking for both their chances of admission at the University of Texas, as well as confirmation that they would get rejected in any of the seven Ivy League universities. So it's a very supercharged, multi-prong, broad question. Robin, do you want to go through and read some of the information that the student included in their post?
Sure. So for demographics, we have white male, family income, approximately 200,000 from Texas, intended majors in economics and government, the SAT of 1550, GPA 4.0 unweighted with a class rank of 3 out of 38 students, and coursework about 13 APs. The students said pretty much all the ones available at my school. So that's the only information that we have.
Great, thank you. Okay, so this is an interesting case because the University of Texas has very specific admissions standards and requirements, but then also because the rest of their question about the Ivies is extremely broad. So how would you kind of start breaking this down, Robin, and answer this? And what do you think is kind of problematic about the lack of detail around this post?
Well, I mean, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier with the chance calculator. The only information that we have here is quantitative. We have a GPA that's unweighted, and then we have a standardized test score. And that GPA, a 4.0, and that test score, a 1550, that 100% gets that student to meet the academic threshold at any highly selective university, no problem. What is lacking there, obviously, is the fact that we don't know what the student has been involved in within his school, within his community. We don't know what type of role the student has played in the activities that he's part of. Is he a strong leader? Is he a member? Does he have a longstanding commitment with certain activities? How has this student made an impact beyond the classroom is what I'm wondering. We don't have a sense of what the student wrote about in their personal essay, what that might have revealed about them and what they value. No sense of which teachers wrote the letters of recommendation and whether or not that student had a longstanding, you know, rapport with those teachers. So there's so many components missing to this that makes it incredibly difficult to chance. I mean, the one caveat to that I would say would be the fact that the student is third in their class. And I'm assuming that this student goes to high school in Texas because it says Texan. And within the state of Texas, if you're in the top percentage of your class, Tasha, you might need to remind me what that percentage is.
You're
automatically accepted.
Exactly. And so it's the top 10% rule, which has been in effect in Texas since the late 90s. But because UT has become so much more competitive and they've had so many more applicants, they did go ahead and lower that to top 7 or 6%. And this student being third in a class of 38, he's actually 7-point-something%. So it is very borderline, right? And so it kind of depends, you know, he comes from such a small class that actually that percentage value is much, you know, if he was third out of 200, he would absolutely be in the top 7-6%. But because he's three out of 38, he kind of just barely makes it in there. It's just a little bit above 7%. And so it kind of depends, I think, largely on what the applicant pool at UT looks like in that given year and whether they're able to kind of push a little bit beyond that 7%, right? So it is a pretty tricky one. And so that's UT. But what about the student's question regarding whether they would be rejected at the Ivies? So they kind of frame it in the negative and talk about the Ivies as like one institution almost. How would we approach that part of the question?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it would be impossible to chance this student. As I said, you know, earlier, the GPA, the test score, those numbers absolutely qualify him. And I'm putting qualify in air quotes here, in terms of meeting academic thresholds that any highly selective school, such as the Ivy Leagues and similar schools, he meets those academic thresholds. But we know that those schools aren't just admitting students that meet those academic thresholds. Yes, it says that he took 13 APs. So it sounds like he was really maximizing what was made available to him. That's definitely a good thing. But then there are so many other factors that I need to know about, that I want to know about. Again, going back to the extracurricular involvement, the impact the student has had in his school, in his community, what did he write about in his personal essay, supplemental essays for any school that requires them, but especially with schools that have such large applicant pools and such small acceptance rates, the level of care and nuance that needs to go into the responses to those supplemental essays to really help a student stand out is enormous. And not having any sense of what that student wrote about for particular supplemental essays, that makes it difficult to gauge as well. The numbers alone just aren't enough. I would be highly suspect of anyone who would reply to this student's profile and tell the student, oh, well, I mean, I think you would be able to get into an Ivy because you have a 4.0 and a 1550. No, there's no way. So it's severely lacking in other information that even then would not necessarily allow me to, give a surefire response of, oh, okay, well, yeah, I definitely think you'd be admitted. Potentially he would be competitive from an academic perspective, but from the soft factor qualitative perspective, it's impossible to say.
Yeah, it is. So I wanted to bring in that example to just kind of close out our discussion of chance forums as a kind of chance calculator, just to give folks an idea of the kinds of posts that are being shared there. Of course, this particular post is not representative of all posts. Some posts have more information, some have less, but this was a really quant-heavy post that I think at first sight might seem to give a lot of useful information, but is very, very incomplete. Okay. And so, really just at the end of the day, these forums provide students with, I think, like I said earlier, a sense of solidarity, because everyone is going through the same stressful process. So it's not a bad thing inherently, if it kind of looking through these and poking around is helpful, people are definitely using the subreddit quite a bit, but it's just very, very important to take these calculators with a grain of salt. And with that, we will move on to the third kind of chance calculator. And this one is, I think, probably a little bit newer with the advent of social media sites like TikTok, but college admissions influencers. So there are individuals on mostly TikTok, some on Instagram as well, who offer their chance calculator services and post online content about it. Also on YouTube, I should mention. So there is a whole TikTok category called college admissions chances. A lot of it is much more generalized content. So there are videos titled things that might affect your college acceptance. And, folks will go on and kind of just give general advice. But there are also ChanceMe accounts that are, totally focused on giving students chances. So these ChanceMe accounts and purported college admissions consultants, like the influencer I actually mentioned in episode one, who is a Duke student, his name is Daniel Lim, and on TikTok, his handle is Limmy Talks. So he posts general videos, but he also offers himself as a chance calculator, and he'll pick apart past applications with results that he already knows, almost like as a retrospective chance calculator of like, okay, this student had this, 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 and this. They were not admitted to this school. What are the chances of that, right? So he almost does this kind of like post-mortem of some applications. So often it'll be with really stellar students who, maybe like similar to the student we just talked about in the ChanceMe subreddit, who have really strong quantitative factors and ultimately did not gain admission to a top school. And so those posts will trigger really strong reactions in the comments, for like a lot of outrage of, how is it possible that a student with that kind of strong quantitative profile did not get admitted? Some of his videos will be titled like, quote, how could a student with such a perfect profile not get in? But then some other videos, will be direct responses to folks writing in, asking for particular advice related to their student profiles. So I did not mean to, focus in too much on this one particular influencer, but I did just want to give it as an example. There are many out there, and certainly TikTok is a place that it's concentrating. Otherwise, college admissions TikTok is actually much larger when it comes to reaction videos of, student reactions to their admission letters or their denial letters. But what do you think about this kind of whole wide world of social media admissions advice, Robin?
I'm glad it wasn't around when I was applying to college. Oh my gosh. It's just everyone's putting all of their information out there and their lives out there. And I don't necessarily think that's healthy, but that's a whole nother podcast probably. But as far as, you know, this method goes on TikTok and whatnot, I do think there is some value in the exercise of reviewing past applications for which we know the admissions decision or the outcome, because, you know, if anything, that can just go to show how unpredictable the application process is, how the application review process itself is very subjective. It's human beings reviewing the applications who bring their own experiences to the way they look at applications, and then based on the institution that they work for, the priorities of that institution. So I think that it's a reminder of how unpredictable and how subjective the process can be, regardless of how, you know, stellar, so to speak, an applicant appears to be to, you know, the general public and whatnot. At the same time, and you sort of alluded to this already, you know, I do think that picking apart an application from a seemingly stellar student can further just fuel that general sense of cynicism and skepticism that I think is out there as it relates to the college application process. I mean, in general, I think all of these resources can be used to manage expectations when it comes to the college application process. But if a student finds that as they use these resources, that it's adding to their anxiety and stress surrounding the college application process, and it's just causing self-doubt or imposter syndrome, I would recommend steering clear of them or taking a break from them for a while. I do agree with you that it can create a sense of solidarity and potentially comfort, but I think it's very easy for students to potentially get sort of an unhealthy obsession with relying on these forums. And I would encourage students to, you know, use trusted professional resources like their school-based counselor or other trusted adults that are supporting them through the application process. And to just remember that the reality of this process is that there are going to be things beyond their control. And what they can control is putting together the strongest application possible based on how hard they've worked in high school, academically, how they've invested themselves in their activities and their involvement, et cetera, the essays that they write. And, you know, just rest assured that, and I say this to students every year, and I know that sometimes they probably roll their eyes as I say this, but they need to remember that sometimes that school that they think they really, really want, and that's the school, it's not necessarily the school that they really need when all is said and done. And I also want to just emphasize again, because of the unpredictability that's out there, this is all the more reason why we emphasize, you know, at IVYs, and I know many other counselors at schools all over the country emphasize the importance of having a balanced college list. Absolutely have those reach schools, those highly selective schools that are the right fit for you, but then also have those target schools that are the right fit for you and some likely schools as well. So ultimately, at the end of the day, you as the student are still empowered because you have options to choose from in terms of where you ultimately want to matriculate and spend the next 4 years as you continue your education journey.
Of course, I think it's always really important to bring up the balanced college list because, you know, I think that maybe a lot of students, I mean, I can't say this for sure, but like students who are spending a lot of time on these forums, especially as it relates to some of the most competitive and selective universities, you know, we don't know if they're making sure to have a balanced college list, right? And that's something that, you know, should definitely be emphasized. And so, you know, I think some of the questions being asked are important. Like, of course, it's natural for students to want to understand what their chances might be at some of their reach schools, but they should also be focusing on what their chances might be, you know, at some of the other categories in their, yes, in their list, right? Because that's just as important. You know, sometimes students might miscalculate a target school or sorry, a likely school for a target school and, you know, et cetera. And having like the most accurate kind of placement there will help students create more balance and just kind of set themselves up for success in the process.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. So I think that just about wraps up this episode of Just Admit It. Robin, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, but I really am glad that I was able to be part of this podcast because it gave me an opportunity to explore these resources in a little more detail. So once again, just thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming on. So this was episode 4. Look out for a new episode every other week and stay tuned for our next episode, which is going to be episode 5, using data to create a balanced college list. So perfect segue, Robin. Thanks for ending it there. In the meantime, you can catch up on all of our previous episodes by visiting our podcast page and be sure to bookmark our knowledge base for additional help with navigating the complex and competitive admissions process. If there are any topics you'd like us to cover in the next semester, please email us at podcast@ivywise.com. And don't forget to follow us on socials for more resources on the higher ed landscape. You can find us at Follow IvyWise. Thanks again for coming on the show, Robin.
Thanks, Tasha.
From IvyWise, I'm your host, Tasha. And this has been Just Admit It. See you next time.